Pitter patter.
Let's get at her.
Well, hey there, Christy. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad.
Good.
Welcome back to A Thinking Person's Guide to Letterkenny. This is our episode 23.
Michael Jordan.
Well, that's Christy all over, folks. Just a slave to the sports balls. Always has been. Always talking mad game about the latest.
All about the sports balls. Uh-huh. There are exactly two numbers that I associate with sports.
Two numbers.
Mm-hmm.
23.
Yep.
And...
Do you want to guess?
Seven.
Oh, no. Fuck that guy.
Uh-huh.
66. Mario Lemieux. Bow, 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 bow.
Okay. Those are the only two.
Those are the only two.
You don't know.
I do know that 41 is Jackie Robinson, but I don't as quickly get there in my head. So, okay. 23, right. 66. Those are my sports numbers.
All right. No, no love for Sidney Crosby.
What's his number?
87.
Oh, good for him. That's a good number. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Terry Bradshaw.
What's his number?
Was 12.
Oh. That's a good one, too. I like it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Nothing else, huh?
Nope. Those are my two.
Well, you said two and you have three, but you don't get to the third.
And the third is, it's not as innate. It's more of a learned trick.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. A learned trick of association. Well, right. But 23.
That right? One, the 90s culture. Yeah. Dug into my soul.
Oh, yeah. That's why there was a whole spate in the early 2000s of every best player on every high school team and every college team. Yeah.
Had to be.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the mad scramble to see who got to wear it on their NBA teams.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of... And that's why, obviously...
LeBron wears
LeBron
that,
dabbled with it. Yeah. He's had a number of numbers. He does the...
What's he currently...
I don't know, six or something?
That's lame.
Yeah.
You should get a better one.
All right.
That I'll remember and care about.
Yeah, because then after one point, they're like, oh, I'm such a acolyte, I'm such a fan, I want to pay homage. Then sooner or later, they're like, well, I'm my own entity. Why do I have to be in anybody's shadow?
I'm the king.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So, even though his team didn't make the playoffs this year, and so that was... Sort of punctures some of his, but man who made the NBA playoffs for 10 years in a row has pretty much got his.
Damn.
Yeah.
He should pursue this as a profession.
He's got some potential.
Yeah. I think he could go somewhere with this.
He committed himself.
Yeah. Don't give up on your dream, LeBron.
No.
Right?
Yeah,
no matter what the haters say.
No, right. Yeah, isn't that such a trope? The haters, right?
Yeah, the haters.
Everybody. I've been thinking about that a lot. I'm not really convinced that there's that many haters. There's haters out there, but there can't be that many haters, especially because so many of these athletes are so good so early on in their lives.
Right.
That who's hating on them?
Who's really hating on LeBron James?
When you're the best player in the country,
right?
In high school,
as a junior in high school,
your games are on ESPN nationwide. In high school, and for you then to trot out this narrative of like, to prove the haters wrong, you're like, who was dissing on you?
Yeah.
There was literally maybe two people,
hated you personally
from high school.
Yeah, that guy named Bob.
Yeah, and everybody else has been, on your side, at least in your circle. Your school, then not in his case, but those that go on to college then they become equally just, the centers of attention. And I mean, I guess maybe there's more of a hater culture in parts of America that I'm not party to.
I feel like it's more of a creation of conflict to give yourself motivation, I'm pushing back against something,
it's a mythos of I made it despite all the haters, right. and because the narrative of like I've always been the best,
right.
I'm in the best, everybody's always loved me, and now I'm just fulfilling my destiny.
That doesn't play as well.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. You don't get the drama that you need.
Continuing to be the best.
As I have been since my sophomore year of high school when we won the state title there.
Punched out of my mama's womb in 3.2 seconds. I don't know. I assume that's what LeBron did. And you're giving me a look like that was a weird comment to make, but I feel like it made sense.
Grammatically, sure. It's a low bar, though.
It is.
So I had some sad news on the sports front in addition to that these days, right? Locally.
Very sad.
Really unexpected demise of one of the Steelers players, quarterback, who had a bit of a recent troubled past, but
mental health issues or anything like that. Like it,
he wasn't going off the rails necessarily or anything.
He was just trying to find his footing, as you and I have talked about.
Yeah,
it seems like he was in a, you know, the first NFL team he got drafted to was probably not the best fit for him.
Oh yeah, he got a raw deal that way,
right? Yeah. And he was with us with the Steelers and. Really, really sad. I mean, sad regardless for any 24-year-old to lose their life so unexpectedly is just, people just had, you have so much ahead of you. You don't expect to lose somebody at that age. And it's really sad. And we haven't been able to find all of the details yet. It's a lot of, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing suspicious, no Murder, She Wrote thing happening over here, but it's confusing as to why he was walking on the highway at 6 a.m.
Curious, if not confounding.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Right?
Yeah. So, right. Yeah. That's sad news on the sports front.
Yeah, for sure. And we had a pretty slow week around here.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really have any updates on shit that comes out of my mouth or.
No, we had some minor moments, but nothing dramatic to write home about. Just the usual gobbledygook of opportunities of, and we note them in the moment. We laugh, but they don't rise to the level necessarily of being something we'd share.
Yeah, we've just
And there wasn't anything Pittsburgh wise that really stood out today.
Nothing got you too pissed off lately. I mean, we've been pissed about the weather because the weekend weather has been particularly shitty for like 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a curious circumstance for the last month. It's been unseasonably chillier and or wet weather on the weekends, and then turning off into seasonal, if not really nice weather in the midweeks.
Right, just making me want to take a day off.
Yeah, when we've been busy and or sick and unable to take advantage of it. So, which is the only other real story perhaps from last week. I got struck ill inexplicably with the flu.
A mysterious flu that somehow I did not get, even though I see human beings and you do not.
I still have no understanding of why I came down with it.
Mm-mm.
But come down with it I did and laid low for a good 48 hours and 12 to 18 of which were pretty hairy.
Yeah, they were.
Lots of very intense abdominal action.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And I think we just leave it there for the listeners. Yeah,
hopefully they read through.
I don't. There's no hopefully there.
Yeah.
Now, I will say the good thing about you being a little laid low is that you discovered a newfound appreciation for a musical artist that I have been a fan of for quite a while.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you like to talk to our listeners about it?
You expressed your appreciation more so, or as much so for his social stances.
Yes.
For his music, I think in equal proportion or somewhat equal previously when we had seen his commercials.
That point I was just telling you how much I appreciated him as a human and what he's doing in the world.
Because his commercials were on, I believe they're on Hulu.
Yeah.
At one point, the same network upon which we watched our Letty King.
Definitely, yeah.
So I was aware that he existed as a human being, but I hadn't heard or identified if I had heard his songs as his. Until, of all places, I was on Instagram and following a baseball team, minor league baseball team at that, the Savannah Bananas, who, for as near as I can tell, and I don't know much more than this, seems their whole forte is just to be irreverent and be quite comedic and joyful.
Makes me want to go to Savannah and watch one of their games.
Lots of dance routines, lots of irreverent behavior and stuff. Yeah, it does look fun.
This is what the Pirates need to do.
Well, they can't. Yeah, in lieu of being able to play actual baseball.
Well, they can't. It's not their fault. It's the owners and yada yada. But this is what the Pirates should do.
So anyway, I saw one of the videos that they post on Instagram. I had a walk-up. They do the walk-up music for each player, and one of them chose a song that I'd heard before, but I didn't identify with the artist, so I looked him up, and because I was quite taken by the dance routine that the player invented along with his walk-up, and quite enjoyed it. And so I ended up listening to the song for, I'd say, like an hour and a half straight. Over and over again.
I'm going to give us our listeners just about like 5 seconds.
Yeah, five.
Great. I think, is that okay?
Yeah.
I hope you could hear that. I don't know. My volume was a little low.
Yeah.
But that's what I fucking want. And that's my guy.
Yeah. Who's your guy?
Lil Nas X.
Yeah. So Chrissy's long been a fan, and I was just introduced to his musical stylings, but quite taken by what I heard, and haven't had a chance to explore the rest of the album. But
yeah, I think I'm gonna have to. I'll get the album, and then we can listen to it on repeat. I did look to see if I could find like a record of his today, like an actual vinyl, but I guess he's not doing that.
Yeah.
But I thought that would be really cool to listen to Lil Nas X on vinyl.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't transfer as well, but
you never know.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of his, as you said, from a social stance, because of his openness, his just being his confidence and bravery in being his authentic self, which as a, what's he, like early 20s something young man, that it takes a lot of balls.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
well, that's what stood out to this song. The hook initially drew me in, and the dance routine from the baseball player and all that stuff. But what I found all the more fascinating and actually, you know, intriguing was the fact that, you know, the first verse of the song is unlike pretty much any other pop song that I've ever heard in its transparency of, you know, a clearly gay character expressing himself in what he wants. And what
there's no
coding of it in any way, you know, like gay people have had to do in terms of their presentation of themselves and their artistic vision in so much of the past. It's all out there. And so that made it all the more fascinating and enjoyable to hear somebody who could openly express themselves that way. It's pretty amazing that someone has got that much courage. And I think it does take courage even in this era where people are, you know, many people breaking their arms, patting themselves on the back and how woke they are. There's still a lots of reservoir of hate and distrust of. And so for someone to still have the courage to be that transparent, I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And that's what I was telling you how much. So the reason that he is so on my radar, is the fact that he's so just so openly himself, which is a young gay black man. Who is in the hip hop genre for the most part. And he performed, so he regularly gets a lot of pushback from the Christian community. And so that's why I feel like I have this very special like love for him. I just want to put my arm around him and be like, you got this, go. You don't even need my love, but I just want to give it to you. Because the pushback he gets from the Christian community is so much. And then he does this beautiful thing where he just irreverently takes apart all of the visual shit that the Christian community puts upon you. And one of his most recent videos, he goes to hell because he's talked about how he's sick of people in the church telling him that he's going to hell because he's gay. And so he has a video where he goes to hell and then goes down on Satan. And I fucking love that because he's like, fuck your ideas. I don't know what to do with that. And he has talked about how he's trying to sort of come to terms with being someone who's raised in the church but is gay. And so what does that mean for him? And so I have this, like, I just want to, like, protect him from the hate that he's getting, or tell him it's okay. He doesn't need me to say that, but still. And in addition to that, most recently, a few months ago, he performed at the BET Awards, and he kissed another black man on stage in his performance. And he talked about how he was so nervous to do that in front of that crowd because they hadn't seen that before. That hadn't, like, there at that space. And just the confidence, the bravery, the to just be yourself. It's beautiful. And that's, you know, that's also why we love this show, because it gives us these different types of representation and authenticity and also a lot of, you know, butt and dick jokes. So with that, I think I end my Lil Nas X soapbox. Unless you have more to add to my my preaching of the Lil Nas X gospel.
No, you're the disciple. I'm just a new recent convert to the. So yeah, shall we get into the episode?
I think we should. Okay, it's been 15 minutes,
right?
Let's give the listeners what they want.
Yeah, I suppose, assuming they do want any of it.
Yeah, they might not want any of this. Yes. I don't know. We've got a few people. They're listening.
They are listening.
Yeah. They're maybe enjoying it. Right. I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah. So, season 5, episode 5.
Yes.
Back to back to back.
Bop, 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 bop.
All right.
Okay, so in our intro, we've got Wayne standing in front of the barn holding one of his puppies.
Yep.
We went shopping for a whiskey night the other day. And we enter the farmhouse kitchen.
Yep.
There are a few visuals that kick at you right away. One, Wayne is holding his dog, Gus, which we've talked about before. He's holding him on his lap like a baby with his arms up over his head. So this is a dog that he periodically does this with.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a huge bottle of whiskey on the table that is by Gus and Brew, who is the people who do their fake beer.
No, that's Puppers.
Oh!
Puppers is a beer. Gus and Brew is a whiskey.
Gus and Brew. Why did I get that confused? Wow, Christy. Minus 2 points. Yeah.
That's all right.
That's okay.
We haven't heard a reference to Puppers in a while. So
no, it's been a while. You're right.
So that's honest mistake.
Yeah, I guess so. Yep. So we've got dog sitting on his lap like a baby, huge bottle of Gus and Brew, and Katie says, that's a big fuck off bottle of Gus and Brew.
Yep, which Wayne says, better looking at it than looking for it.
That's right. And then we get a discussion about how the dog, whose name is Gus.
Who is Gus, yeah.
Has been pooping inside.
Right. Yeah. And everybody, Wayne, or Derry, Squirrelly Dan, and Katie have all come across the output,
yes,
so to speak.
Yes, the chocolate bars.
Yes, as they, as they analogize it, to chocolate-covered
poop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Wayne is not having any, or at least initially.
No, he doesn't really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you have something to add there? No? Okay. Katie, Squirrelly Dan, they want him to talk to the dog, right? Give him a talking to. So he says, okay, Katie, okay. Wish me luck. I'm going in. And he goes in to have a serious talk with the dog where he uses puppy voice. Oh, don't be a bad dog. Don't be a bad dog. And they all say he's not taking it serious enough. So he keeps going back in to have a serious talk with Gus. None of it's really coming to fruition.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that Wayne is possibly not taking these talks very seriously with his dog. Puts him down, sends him into the other room. Wherein he...
apparently.
Drops a deuce.
Yeah.
Yep. Not a chocolate-covered morsel.
Yeah. Mr. Wonka's emptied his pockets.
Yes. Now, the only other important part of that scene is that Katie quotes one of my all-time favorite movie lines.
Right.
Which is, "It has already been rotten." And if you know, you know, and you better know. And that just makes me very excited that she even references that line. So,
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's good.
Right?
Okay, so then scene one.
Yep.
We're in the women's locker room.
Yep, at the hockey rink.
Yeah, a hockey rink. Yeah, yep. Jonesy and Riley go in to...
talk to the women soccer or hockey players.
Right.
It's a carryover from them finding out the previous episode that a man had come between them, was coming between Betty Ann and Mary Ann.
Right.
So they're looking to act upon that and undo that in service of improving the team's fate.
Yes. Hopefully they can win another championship.
Right. Which is the third in a row.
Right. Which is the title of our episode. Back to back to back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this results in Betty Ann and Marianne having what I call a mitt down.
I thought it was a mitt off.
Oh, no, I like the term mitt down.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Maybe I said mitt off before. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good one, though.
Okay, either I like way. It. Yeah. Yeah, a little mitt down. I think my favorite one was Betty Ann said to Marianne, "Your mitt looks like a boa constrictor unhinged its jaw in an effort to consume a combat submarine."
That was a good one.
Uh-huh. Did you have a favorite one?
My favorite is also Betty Ann. And when she says, "Your mitt looks like the drooping jowls of a Shar-Pei with palsy and a water wing in its mouth."
And a water wing in its mouth.
Yeah.
That's some drooping mitt sides.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah. There's a lot there. It's a very intense visual.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So, they go round and round.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just Betty Ann. It's Marianne as it gets
her legs into it. Yeah. Our next scene.
So the boys just they have nothing.
Yeah. They just walk away. Yeah, yeah, they're like, we gotta go talk to the source.
Yeah.
Or the problem.
Yeah.
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 So we see them in the bathroom stalls. Well, we see their feet in the bathroom stalls.
The three of them.
Jonesy, Riley, and
Shorzy.
Yes. And Shorzy is emptying his bowels in a disgusting way.
I'm not helping you tit fuckers or those twats. Wow, nice language.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now he gets a few really good ones in. He's just doing his usual talking shit about Jonesy and Riley's moms. My favorite line from this scene is when Shorzy says to Riley, "I made your mom so wet, Trudeau deployed a 24-hour infantry unit to stack sandbags around my bed." For some reason, I just love that visual.
Of the Premier of Canada.
Yeah, right? Being like, "Send in the sandbags."
No, it's this tour de force. Shorzy.
Yeah.
And the mid-down's pretty intense, too, but Shorzy's is pretty nonstop as well.
Yeah. Shorzy takes no prisoners.
No, yeah.
So that's another short scene.
Yep.
And we get to scene three, Stuart's mom's basement.
Yep.
And what we see is Roald and Everett.
He's the dark web guy.
Dark web guy, right?
Yeah.
They're standing there, and we hear Stuart in the background saying...
Yeah, apparently upstairs.
Yes.
Yelling at... to his mother, perhaps?
Probably, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, to persons unseen.
Yeah.
Persons unseen.
Threats.
Yes. Directed actually at Everett because he is apparently unaware that Everett is in fact there.
Right. He thinks Everett is late.
Yes, with the dark web access.
Yeah, he is the dark web. Then one of my favorites enters the basement. Glenn!
Yeah. Glenn's back.
Glenn is back. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. First, Stuart does appear.
Yeah.
And then Glenn shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we find out that this is, in fact,
an intervention.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
For Stuart.
We're not entirely sure whether it's for his drug use or the dark web. I presume it's for the dark, his dark web.
That's what I think, it's for the dark web usage.
It's not stated, and it's not even really alluded to what, why, but
that's, but if Everett is there, that is what made me think it was about the dark web.
Yeah, I presume as well.
And also in keeping with the show's
blatant disregard of the troubles surrounding serious drug addiction.
Right, that they're like, drugs are fun, right?
Hey, right? Yeah, you know.
They are the anti-Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
Which, I can't blame them for that. But, so it is an intervention. They want Stuart to go to rehab.
Right.
But everybody shows up.
Right.
So,
well, everybody. A couple other key figures in Stuart's life.
Yeah.
Two influential people to him. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we see Gay.
Right. Who I haven't seen for years.
Yeah, it's been a while. She was his French Canadian love who had showed up to.
They're from the city. I don't think she's French Canadian.
Oh, no. Wasn't she from Quebec?
I don't know.
I feel like she was. I feel like there was a lot of French involved when she was on screen. I could be wrong. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, Katie shows up also.
Right. Yeah.
And and they both are saying, yes, you are going away. You need to take care of yourself. Again, probably not for the drugs, but for your dark web usage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on what's the real trouble here.
Yeah. What's the real problem? The dark web. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. And that's the last we see of Stuart for this episode.
Yeah, for the whole episode, So then we head back for the next scene to the women's locker room.
Yeah.
And Jonesy and Riley come in, and they tell Betty Ann and Marianne that Shorzy has been saying essentially a bunch of misogynistic shit.
Mm-hmm.
That he said, you know, they should go play ringette. They should make me a sandwich. How are they able to have time to play hockey? They should be cleaning and mopping.
Yeah.
Anything else I'm missing there?
No, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. and then they're able to, Jonesy and Riley are able to use that anger to push Betty Ann and Marianne to, you know, have a united front against their now common enemy.
Yeah.
And they say, we're going to go back to back to back. And it's time to get the third championship.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So then we get a hockey montage.
Montage, yeah.
Right? We are watching the Shamrockettes beat all of the other teams.
Uh-huh.
And there are a list of other women's teams.
As they climb the ranks. They move their placard up from the spot near the bottom where they start the montage as they move past the Caribouettes, the Rapidettes, the Royalettes, the Alouettes.
Yeah.
Which is funny because
what is an Alouette?
So an Alouette is the French word for a skylark.
Oh.
It's the, it must be a mascot name that's used more commonly in Canada proper.
Yeah.
It's the mascot name for the Montreal CFL franchise.
With the CFL.
Right. They're the Montreal Alouettes. And that song, Alouette, Jolie Alouette, that's a working class song about plucking the feathers of a skylark.
Oh, about eating a skylark.
Yeah.
Prepping a skylark for dinner.
For Quebecois, yeah. So it's hilarious because they're already the et, so they...
Right, and then they add another et.
The Anglos add another et on it to make it the Alouette ets. And then finally the Bulldog ets.
Yes. Which is who they are up against in the final.
Right, yeah.
The Bulldogettes.
The Bulldogettes.
Yeah, right. Which is, I appreciate the leaning in to the idea that women's teams are always just some version of the already established men's teams.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. They have to be a derivative.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
somehow, and Etz being, you know, not just feminine, but almost like a subsidiary.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the minor league thereof.
Legacy.
Yeah.
All of that.
What is interesting in this scene, as they start playing, you know, the teams and moving up in the ranks, we see Jonesy and Riley in their suits and they're all dressed up. Right. And I can't remember if we've seen them. I know we've seen them in suits, like in the wedding episode, mm-hmm. but I don't think we've seen them like dressed up as coaches in this way yet.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting to see their characters sort of evolve in this way and become these not quite full grown adults, but like really close to it.
Yeah.
Really
yeah,
close.
Yeah. We've seen them grow up.
Yeah.
We've
seen
them become, almost adults.
Yeah.
From just little silly boys.
Yeah. From wee silly boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, where do we go from there?
So then we are back at the farmhouse kitchen.
Right, right.
Where the Hicks are talking about that they are excited that the Shamrockettes mm-hmm. are hopefully going to win tonight, which will give them a ship to ship to ship. Mm-hmm. Or back to back to back.
Yeah.
And that, folks, is mm-hmm. today's version of shit that comes out of Christmas.
There you go. It's an organic one. You guys didn't even have to get a secondhand version of it. You were there. You'll all remember when you were there.
When
you saw it and heard it yourself. Yep, saw it in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Heard it with your two wee ears. Or one. Yeah. I don't know. So we get a bunch of... we get some euphemisms or wordplay on sweep. Because they're hoping, the Hicks are hoping that the Shamrockettes will sweep the other team.
Right, they're playing a five-game series, and they've already won the first two. So this is the third game, potentially sweeping them.
Merrill sweep, the Lions sweeps tonight. We get a couple of those as they're chit-chatting.
Yeah.
And then we are taken to the parking lot where we see the Donegal Hicks version of our Hicks.
So it must be the Donegal Bulldogs.
Yeah.
That they're playing,
So it is their doppelgangers.
Uh-huh.
And so Wayne has a Dwayne.
Yep.
Daryl has a Cheryl. And Dan has a Stan.
Uh-huh. Which is all appropriate. Then they look, if you look at the image, they're not mirror images of each other, but almost... They're coincident.
Yes.
Yeah, all the way down to their footwear.
If you look at their, even the footwear.
Is exactly the same or similar.
Yeah, because Cheryl and Daryl
are both wearing their farming boots.
Yes.
Their rubber boots that they use in the dairy barn.
Yeah, Dan and Stan are both wearing their plaid shirts.
Plaid over shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
They're a funny crew. I like seeing the six of them.
Mm.
We get more sweep references, and then some ship references. But Cheryl says to Daryl, still, no matter the outcome, you all have the most ostrich fuckers per capita, right?
To which Squirrely Dan says, allegedly.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So we do like a good ostrich fucker reference.
Right. Yeah, back.
That helps us.
Yeah, it's called a callback.
Yeah, it's a great callback. So yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that takes us back to the locker room.
Uh-huh.
So Coach, we see at this point, is super excited.
Yeah.
He's really hoping, we just might get a back-to-back-to-back shirt.
Right, he really wants it. He comes in and kicks the trash can.
Yep.
And his classic move.
Yeah. He says, let's get this luxury fucking sea liner on the water.
Yeah.
I love all those ship wordplay.
Yeah. Yep.
And they get on the ice. And we see that Shorzy is the ref.
Shorzy is the lineman.
Right. Yeah. So this could go badly because Jonesy and Riley made up the shit that they told Betty and Marianne he said.
and this comes out because they call him on it and he denies it. Mm-hmm. But just as soon as he does that, then he starts berating Betty Ann and Marianne in other ways.
Yeah.
Thus inspiring their ire once again.
Yes. So then mission accomplished again. It's fine.
Back to the start. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he also digs in on Jonesy and Riley and their moms. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just, you know, all's fair in Shorzy land. So,
As a classic saying goes.
Yes.
All's fair in Shorzy land.
Yeah. You've never heard that?
And you got to put the pause in there.
Classic reference. Classic, yeah. Classic. Almost as famous as It Has Already Been Brought In.
Yeah, that's iconic, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we are back to Stuart's mom's
basement. Yep.
Thank you.
Right.
And there's everyone in the room is there, mm-hmm. right? Everyone who saw him off is now present in the room. And Glenn announces that, you know, Stuart's coming home and his transformation in rehab has been like unbelievable,
apparently,
but we don't see him.
No, it's a cliffhanger, right?
Laugh word. Bah, bah, bah.
Yep, you'll have to tune in next week,
right? That's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. Same Stuart channel, right. Same Stuart time.
And those classic sayings. We remember from our youth. We never forget it because it just trips off the tongue. Mm-hmm. Just trips off
the tongue. Yeah, it just rolls right off.
No hitch or anything. Just natural as could be.
All right. So we're back at the hockey game.
Back to the hockey game.
And at this point, we are watching our Hicks in the stands.
Yeah.
I like that you see the wave starts and Dan says, fuck the wave. I appreciate his not willingness to play along in the silliness. There's some back and forth with them and the other Hicks, the Donegal Hicks. And at one point, I like that Cheryl says, I've seen more hustle in chess. And then the whole stadium starts shouting, let's go Shamrockettes, let's go Shamrockettes. And I just love that, like, they're saying it like it's a normal team name not derivative.
Yeah.
And yet.
And not entirely, a full mouthful.
Right, exactly. Right? They have to really, like, elongate the let's go so that they can fit in Shamrockettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus our let's go Pens.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a lot more
terse.
Yes. Yeah. So, no. All right. Okay. So our next scene, we are in the rink and it's a puck off, a kick off. It's a
face off.
It's a face off.
Puck off is a very different thing.
What's that?
That's when something that somebody tells you when they want you to go away.
Oh, when they tell you to puck off. Like the sign that we saw in the show that said zero pucks given.
Like that. Yeah.
I thought it was really funny.
You did, yeah. You too could make signs for hockey.
I could. It's a puck off. You should puck off, my guy. I don't think I should make signs for any sports balls events.
Ironic ones. You can do that. That's
fun. Like, does she know what she's saying? She's a comedic genius.
She is.
Yeah. She just doesn't understand your game. She wishes we were playing Parcheesi.
Did you just say comedic?
I did. I said comedic. I was hoping you wouldn't pick up on it, but I said comedic.
I'm not familiar with that word. I'm just going to slay that out there. I guess it's my own...
It's the French version of comedic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. A little Quebecois thrown in there for you. Yeah.
That checks out.
Gay taught me that one.
Forgive me, forgive me my lack of knowledge. I wish I had known that. Now I do. Thank you.
Now you do. Yeah, yep. Get your comedic timing down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're late in the game. The tie score, 0-0. It's a puck off, as they say in the real puckheads know it as it's a puck off. And in classic, you know, sports movie, TV history genre, you know, the two protagonists, in this case, Betty Ann and Marianne, mm-hmm. look at each other, give one another a nod, and
They're
going to take over the game.
That's right.
Finish it right here.
It's time.
And they managed to do so in the last 4 seconds.
Score
the game-winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore seal the back-to-back-to-back championship.
This luxury fucking sea liner in the water.
Which then leads to probably the best scene in the whole episode.
Yes.
So they do the whole award ceremony, of course, as they do in most sports. They hand the championship to the two captains, mm-hmm. Betty Ann and Marianne. So they skate over and give it a kiss. Mm-hmm. Then they turn to hand it to Riley and Jonesy, and probably in recognition of the support and the manipulation that they gave them to drive them to their championship. And immediately then the coach steps in to intercept it, takes it, and just begins bawling.
It's just
crumpling to the ice.
All out sobbing on the ice.
While the rest of the team and Riley and Jonesy jump up and down and celebrate the victory.
Right, they're doing the normal celebratory stuff. And he's... Celebratory, which is similar to...
Right,
it's another celibacy. It's a take on the comedic timing.
Yeah.
But anyway, the rest of the team is celibacy.
Yeah.
And coach is just on the ice. He's sobbing.
Yeah. Apoplectic with joy.
Yes. Yeah, I feel at one point he looks up to the skies.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe he's talking to his dead wife.
Oh, I forgot the dead wife.
Right, dead wife. Yeah, or Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know who he prays to in the privacy of his own ice rink.
He's he's never worn his spiritualism on his sleeve.
No, he hasn't. So he's probably talking to his dead wife.
Probably.
So, yeah. So it's great. That is by far, I think, the best scene. It's just a great little, you know, coach.
Yeah, the little touch, yeah.
Yeah, and the episode ends with Jonesy and Riley are standing. They're in the stands of the hockey rink.
After everybody's cleared out.
Right, everybody's gone. Yeah, it's just the two of them. It's
them reflecting upon their ship.
Their ship. We want a ship!
And they're quite, circumspect.
They're emotional. Yeah. They're trying to hold back tears and not really doing it. And they each get text messages from their moms.
Their phones buzz.
And and they're like, oh, it's my mom. She probably wants to congratulate me. And that's what they both say to each other. And in fact, it's both of their moms asking about Shorzy.
If they had seen Shorzy.
Just trying to track down your friend Shorzy.
Yeah. Confirming all of the worst suspicions, which till now you just kind of assumed was Shorzy just being talking mad shit.
Yes.
And now you're left to assume that he hasn't been talking any shit.
Did he make Riley's mom so wet that Trudeau called in the Coast Guard, or what do they call it?
Infantry.
The infantry. The 24-hour infantry.
24 hours. That's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
That's the 24-hour infantry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're only there for a day maximum.
That's it. Maximum 24 hours.
Yep.
Get your wetness under control.
Right.
Riley's mom.
Yeah.
Blame the victim. Good Lord.
The one I didn't get, which is Shorzy said at one point, I made your mom come so hard they made a Canadian Heritage Minute out of it, and Don McKellar played my dick.
Mm-hmm. What did you discover? Did you do a little
Canadian
history?
Well, the Canadian Historic Minutes appear to be something that they publish
the real thing
on the CBC, collection of bilingual Canadian 60-second short films depicting significant persons, events, or stories in Canadian history. First released in 1991, they've been shown on TV, cinema, and online, and become part of Canadian culture.
I just love the idea.
Past events include the discovery of insulin.
Oh, did that happen up there?
The liberation of the Netherlands.
Okay, cool.
D-Day.
Yeah.
Right? That sort of thing.
Shorzy's mom?
No. Shorzy getting on Riley's mom.
Right, Shorzy getting on Riley's That's, mom.
That must be, there's 7 pages of them on this website, so it must be buried somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably on page 4 example, or 5. Yeah.
Other examples, a lot of people that we don't really.
No.
The only name I recognize on this page is Sitting Bull.
Oh.
You know from Native American circles.
I do know who the Sitting Bull is.
I don't know his connection to Canada.
I don't either. I don't know. Maybe he was up in those parts.
Yeah, they got Vikings. That's pretty vague.
Okay. Yeah.
But they did land.
Vikings!
They did land in Newfoundland, so.
Okay.
That's been historically established.
All right. But why were they talking about the Netherlands?
The liberation of the Netherlands?
Yeah.
I assume the Canadian forces were involved in that during World War II. That would make me...
The comedic timing helped them out, huh?
Yeah. That's as it does in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was that connection.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was a little bit of another bit.
Water pump? Did I just see water pump?
You did see water pump.
Okay. All right. So there's a Canadian minute on water pump.
Yeah.
All right. You can... thank all your pumping water needs. You can thank Canada for all your pumped water. That's what I was trying to say.
I'm not sure they're claiming that Canada invented water pumps. But
I'm not sure. We'll have to do a deeper dive into the Canadian minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the episode, huh?
That's it.
Right?
Yeah, it's kind of a short one. There's not a whole lot of
it's a good one.
Deep dive. It's good. Yeah. It's fun. A lot of good laughs.
Yeah. Anything stand out to you?
Were fantastic.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah.
Those are always fun.
I just enjoy a good Betty Ann, Mary Ann mitt down.
Sure. Yeah. I think we're sadly seeing the last of them for a while.
Oh, I'm hoping they come up with a reason to...
Right?
That's well, they're true, though.
Yeah, in the most recent season, they're back, but...
Yeah.
Or at least one half of them were.
Oh, that's right. We had... the most recent season, we had a really good mitt down between the two of them.
No, Betty Ann wasn't involved.
Yes, she was.
Or Mary Ann wasn't then.
One of them wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right. Damn it. I hate when you're right. I don't actually hate when you're right. I like when you're right. I just also want to be right all the time. I want to live in a world where we can both be right all the time. And with that, perhaps we end the episode.
I think we should. All right, folks. Thanks for coming out. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye now.
Bye now.